I always pray about what the Lord wants me to show. I wanted to finish up on this brochure. It's called The Bible Alone. And the reason why last time I pointed up about faith alone, and this is about the Bible alone from the Catholic Church, because that is the great whore. We absolutely know for a fact that they've deceived many in the past, are deceiving people now in the future. And if you look at the way they write some of these things, you can clearly see how they can deceive a lot of people, without a doubt. Now, we understand this here, but there's a lot of people that even might even get saved, get sucked into this thing. And it's just a great tool where we can see what they're using to persuade people, how we can counteract, hopefully win with the Lord. Amen? So the whole idea is that we're soldiers, right? And soldiers have on weapons for offense, and they have weapons for defense. So we need to have both. We know what, we ought to know a good army, a good military, they do the reconnaissance and see what's going on out there so they can plan accordingly how to attack. So we know that this, the Roman church has got their situations, and this is what their brochure they gave me. I mean, obviously when I was at their little street evangelism event, and I talked to them quite a while, they knew exactly where I was coming from. They just picked out the little brochures they handed to me. I got their book right here, what they handed me, and I like it. And I know what they believe. It's like when I go to the mission and PGM, I got a whole stack of material I bring with me. And a lot of people there could care less. They're there for the meal and warm clothes, and I could tell they care less. Well, maybe the Lord get a hold of them, but there are some that the Lord's trying to get a hold of. And so I look at the ministry after we're kind of done as who's coming forward, who needs some help, and I try to see, some people are looking for help. And so I've got everything from eternal security and walking with the Lord and charismatic. I got all these things to try to help these people out, besides, you know, salvation, to help them out. And so same thing here is these people on the other side, oh, here's a, they call us a Protestant, you know. We're Protestants. And that word means to protest against the Pope. So I'm all for that. I'm a Protestant, but I'm a Bible-believing Protestant. I guess I am. And I mean, they think, you know, I'm sure what they think. If you understand where they're coming from, at least maybe you can try to win them to the Lord. It's like when a Jehovah's Witness comes knocking on at your door, you know what happened? You normally look, there's generally a veteran, and then there's some newbie. And that's, hey, you know, I understand a strategy. Hey, get a newbie and get the veterans, because the veteran can answer. But I always kind of listen to them. I always try to focus on the newbie. Do you really believe that? I try to nail down, because maybe I can question what they're doing. Well, anyways, this is your introduction, and I'll cover a few things here. I'm gonna fly through, because I got a lot of material here. Many Christians believe that the Bible and the Bible alone is the sole authority or the sole rule of faith that one needs in order to know what is and is not authentic. Christian doctrine and dogma. This belief is known as sola scriptura, or scripture alone. Catholic Christians, however, because I'm an oxymoron, Catholic Christians, however, believe that both sacred scripture and sacred tradition, you know that word sacred, you know how it appears in the Bible? None. That's a Catholic word, you know, sacred, name it, sacred Eucharist, sacred metal, sacred whatever, you know, anyways, are authoritative, and that both are necessary when deciding what is and what is not authentic. Christian doctrine and dogma. Who's right? Let's look at the situation from the perspective of logical, scriptural, historical. I like those areas. Of course, watch that kind of, you know, someone reading this here, remember, I read this thing through the saved eyes. I try to read it through someone that maybe is on the fence or doesn't know much or whatever, you know. So you can kind of see it's real sneaky and interesting. Number one, here's your 3 points and we'll be done for today. The logical perspective. The biggest problem with the doctrine of sola scriptura from this perspective is that there is no list in the Bible of what book should be in the Bible. The table of contents is not part of inspired scripture. This is a very important point to realize. There is no inspired list in the Bible of which books should be in the Bible. Now, I don't know if you guys were here on January 1st what Pastor did his message about the Bible and the books and all that, phenomenal. There's some things, man, here, but there's, he has some real good home sermons, amen? Sometimes I take him, I send him all around. I send him the Final Fight. I know Matt Crane, he puts him on there and stuff, you know, and it's really good. I mean, you know, sometimes, you know, it's interesting, but sometimes he covered all this thing real clearly. And we understand all that. Yeah, I mean, they're already questioning, well, hey, who's organized? The Holy Ghost and the Lord had all that just clearly put together and made it. That's, we understand that. But see, they're questioning. It's always good to question things. The question it says here, the biggest problem with a doctrine of sola scriptura is from the perspective of there is no list. And then so they're saying that they, the Catholic Church, are the ones that literally are in charge of putting together. A couple of questions that will prove this point. So they say that, prove this point. This is what we call circular reason. You ever hear that, you know? I mean, straw men, circular reasoning, those are all defense to get you away from the truth. A couple of questions will prove this point. Who wrote the Gospel of Mark and why? How do you know? The answer to these two seemingly simple questions demonstrates that every Christian relies on the authority outside of Scripture when it comes to some very important Christian beliefs, the beliefs about the inspiration of Scripture. So, since the Bible itself does not give us any list of books we should read on there outside the Bible, the first place, therefore, the Bible cannot be sole authority in matters pertaining to our things. So, the Catholic Church, they always just automatically assume that they're the ones that put it together. I've got a book at home. I should bring it one day. It's amazing. It is written against Jack Chick tracks. It's their own material. It's got to be a quarter inch in every single track they go through. They actually put the track part in there, the picture of it. And they go, this is what's happening here. And their whole perspective is, doesn't answer the question, is we're right and they're wrong. They just assume that they're right. And there's no basis behind it. So the first point is, hey, we're right, questioning it. So that's their first point. Now, the other, we know that, how God put it together. Now, look at number two here. Another big problem with the doctrine of sola scriptura, from this perspective, is that nowhere in the Bible does it say that the Bible should be used by Christians as sole authority. The sole rule of faith and practice matters nowhere. They highlight it in both, but nowhere. Here's a verse here, 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye receive the word of God, which ye've heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as in truth, the word of God, which effectively worketh also you and you all to believe. I mean, that's so basic to us, it's hard to believe. In fact, one here that I like, and that's why they hate Luke as an actual story instead of a parable. Remember at the end, you had the rich man and Lazarus, and first thing he wanted to do was, hey, you know, cool my tongue, couldn't get personal relief. Well, I got five brethren that need to repent. So he knew that he was there. They wanted to go there. A lot of prayer going to happen. And here's what he says in Luke 29:30-31. For I have five brethren, and he's trying to talk to the Abraham, Father Abraham, there about, you know, he's obviously a Jew, that may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one from above, from the dead, he will repent. So look at a Catholic answer. He's saying they have Moses and the prophets, the word of God. No, I need interpretation. That's a Catholic answer. See that? It's exactly what the human thought is. We don't need the word of God. We have a person that can see that there. Nothing ever changed between their giggling and Gara. And they said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded through one rose from the dead. So there's your good answer right there. See, oh yeah, here's an unsaved guy. Send somebody, a man some way. And God uses men, but we have the word of God. If they won't hear this, they won't hear a man. So they always want to add in to their, quote, perspective. Now, this is very interesting here. So then, brethren, stand. This is their scripture now. So then, brethren, stand firm and hold to the traditions which they have thought by us, either by word or mouth or by letter. Now, they're quoting 2 Thessalonians 2:15, and they're trying to bring traditions into deal. But you know the verse I just read? Let me read you from the King James Bible. Very interesting here. It says, the scripture, 2 Thessalonians 2:15, King James. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or by the epistle. See, but they add the word of mouth. So they're trying to add in people. The word here, if you look at it, the word here is referring to the word of God the Old Testament people had, and the epistles were epistles of Paul. So they just add in a few words trying to get to their thing. That's why it's so important is the words are important. And here they are using Revised Standard Version, not even the Douay Rheim, which has kind of come away from. So the church now is using, their church using the Revised Standard because it was kind of a Protestant version when they came along here. So they're trying to it's a word of mouth. Traditional oral translations and written translation, sacred tradition and sacred scripture, both are needed to be able to know that. I see that there. And this is very interesting here. I thought I'd find it very interesting here. And now Paul refers to these oral traditions elsewhere, and we thank God consistently for this, that when you receive the word of God, which he heard from us, he accepted it not as the word of men, but as what is reality, it's their version, is the word of God. I read that verse, but that's how they change it around. Now look here, this is an interesting part here. It says here, I commend you because you remember me in everything and maintain their traditions, even as I have delivered unto you. Now, that's the verse they use for traditions. Let me read you the King James Bible. It says, same verse, 1 Corinthians 11:2. Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things, that ye keep the ordinances. See, it's the ordinances here in 1 Corinthians 12, as I delivered unto you. Now, so they put the word traditions in there, and just read back in chapter 10. In chapter 10, what's it talking about? The Lord's Supper, things like that, right? So that's an ordinance of the church. You see that? They just kind of, by changing those words around, and by the way, that's done by design. You understand that? A master design changes the words around and then comes up with the system here and uses those words to be able to deceive the folks. That's why the words are very important. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and there it is. So they use the words traditions. No, an ordinance. We have ordinance here. I think we practice too, a Lord's, the table, a communion, biblical communion, and then baptism. Those are things given to the church, and they want to add in traditions. And they put that right in there to add it in. So very, very sneaky. Another scripture problem with the doctrine of sola scriptura is that teachers, every individual has the right, the duty, in fact, to read the Bible and decide for him or herself what is and what is not the truth in all things contending to Christian faith. We like that. Yet this is deceiving and unscriptural. See how there? So instead of having the right ourselves, the Bible quite plainly teaches us that individuals reading the Bible on their own do not have the authority to simply decide or describe on their own what is true and what is false doctrine. That's why I don't read it. Can you imagine that? Don't read the Bible. See, they're always questioning what God said, like Genesis 3:1, yea, hath God said. See that there? I mean, and they write it as fact. And so they question anything. If you know Catholics, they rarely read the Bible, you know. They go to church and do all the hip ball, smoke and mirrors, but they don't know any Bible. And if they do, they know there are little parts of it that they've been taught in the homily, they call whatever. You know, I'm Catholic, you're Catholic, whatever. We understand the whole story. You know, if you're not Catholic, understand that, but there's a billion of them supposed across the world. So this is what they're putting out here. Now, last one is the historic perspective. This is a good one, by the way. I wish I had time to go to some of this more here. The biggest problem, number three, they say, with the doctrine of sola scriptura from this perspective is existence of literally thousands, if not tens of thousands, of Christian denominations that all of the controversial beliefs and practices that go with them. Martin Luther, that's where they think we were right, Martin Luther. Now, we know, if you know church history, that one of the best studies, my personal opinion, after the Word of God, is see where we came from the closing chapter Acts, phenomenally good. But in their mind, we were the only thing going on here. And then now Martin Luther came, and then boom. Here's what they say, very important here. Martin Luther broke from the Catholic Church around the year 1520. It was at this time that we first see the doctrine of sola scriptura enter the scene. That's right. The teaching of the Bible alone is the Christian sole authority, sole rule of faith in matters of doctrine and dogma. And for 1500 years, it's thought thousands of breaks and denominations. So you see, because you now you can't do it. Now, on that January 1st, remember how Pastor started the meeting? He named up all the religions, right? Correct? I mean, name them, you know, Methodism and Lutheranism and Calvinism and all that. Well, you know, and we preach it here. We understand it. That's why it's important. Sound doctrine comes from the perfect Word of God, right? Rightly divided. So you rightly divide, 2 Timothy 2:15, the perfect Word of God, sound doctrine with the right attitude. It's literally that simple. Now, they know all the thousands of denominations. So look here. Look at them all. It can't be right. See what happens when you go buy your own? Well, American money is the most counterfeit money in the world because people can use it all over the world. So anything good thing can be counterfeited. Very interesting here. In conclusion, we see that the doctrine of sola scriptura fails the test of logic, fails the test of scripture, and fails the test of history. Sacred scripture and sacred tradition are both necessary to know the authentic doctrines and dogma of the Christian faith. I mean, that's the saying. I got their book approved by, you know, the Vatican over here, you know, why I'm a Catholic. And it's pretty slick. The church then has the authority, it's about the Bible, pronounce which human writings also had God as your author, which have not. They say there's 73 books in the Bible, of course, you know, that they say here. So here's what we believe. Watch how you have truth and an error. And I'll close this here. The Old Testament describes God's creation of the world, man's fall into sin, and the restoration of God's family through his chosen people, Israel. I agree with that. Two, the New Testament describes the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the divine Son of God, who expanded God's family to include the whole world by dying on the cross and knowing and atoning for humanity's sin. And we agree with that. And that's why they're so big, because they got some truth. Amen? Now watch the last part. Number three, they say, Christ established the Catholic Church to be the custodian of his revelation, and from it we have the Bible and Christianity today. I mean, see how you get some truth and some error? And this is why they call him the mother of harlots, abomination of the earth, come out of my people, receive revelation out of her plagues, because they have some truth. But yeah, they slip in their stuff, and they're real snaky. So this is important that when you see a believer or a Catholic, you know what though? They're probably good people, a lot of them are. I know some good Catholics, amen? But they're just deceived. And so if you understand where they get their things from, you know, pray and try to get them over, you know, get rid of some of this dogma they have. And it's pretty slick. I wish I had more time. I got more. And try to win them and pray. But they're gonna be right in this movement here. When we're out of here, they're gonna be the people standing there. I mean, you know how clear that is. You know, hey, look, we got some truth here. Look here, here we are. And they're gonna get the beast and the false prophet, and they're gonna come together. And so we can't stop that, but we can win as many as we can. Amen? Any questions or comments or anything? Okay, I have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we know this is pretty clear, being Bible believers. And it's great to have this information and knowledge, but I always like application. So I pray, Lord, that we believers, that you put someone in our lives that we could help minister, because the Word of God is we're in the business of reconciliation, to reconcile you with people, Father, that are lost, that can reunite you through faith, through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, death, burial, resurrection. And these things that our enemy has put in the way, may, Father, you be able to clear that out during these last days of the church and be able to minister and get people on the boat, so to speak, Father, and you can use us, Father. So it's important that we know these things and what our enemy and what the false religions believe, so we can minister accordingly. We want to be used, Father. What better thing is to be used here of you, the creator of the world, using safe sinners like us? What a blessing that is. Oh, God, thank you. So I just pray, folks remember these things and understand them and look at that scripture and be able to use it to minister accordingly. We thank you for Pastor Hoffman coming here, Lord, and I pray you just set him apart, Lord, to give us what we need to hear and speak through him, Father, and we're looking forward to growing and getting closer to you, Father. So we thank you, and we give you the praise, the honor, glory in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen.